It's March 10th, 2015, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I am Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, and we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some good conversation, a few laughs, several spiritual perspectives, and as many surprises as possible.
And our time together tonight has been gifted by our sponsor, Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is so good for you.
And Go Raw can be found at Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and the organic section of Costco. Go to GoRaw.com to find out where Go Raw can be found in your neighborhood.
And if not, we'll send our St. Bernard out looking for you and to help you back from wherever you can. And he has alcohol around his neck, this St. Bernard. And he was called St. Bernard because one of the early St. Bernards of this species was canonized because he was the dog of one of the popes that did a lot of miracles. So they just went ahead and canonized the saint, the Bernard. Pope Bernard.
That's so bad. Oh, my God. That's so bad.
It really is, isn't it?
Really bad.
It's so bad it's embarrassing. Scratch that. The jury will,
thank
will
you.
Pay
take
no
that
mind.
Off. Do not Do even not. Record over
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
record
yeah,
over it right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, okay.
We're on a roll tonight because we are still somewhat high, though not without some concern about our new granddaughter. And when I was going to introduce myself, I wanted to say, Errol Strider, actually Grandpa Errol. They're trying to call me Grandpa. I've never been called Grandpa.
Because you've never been a Grandpa.
Thank you, Rochelle. And I'll be honest with you, I have mixed feelings. Because when I think of a Grandpa, I think of like my Grandpa, you know, and he was like an old guy.
Welcome to reality, Errol Strider. To your grandchild, you are an old guy.
But then I looked at my picture. I have a new picture of me with Ella Rose. I love that, Ella Rose. And I look like I could be her grandfather, maybe even her great-grandfather. That's really disconcerting.
Where does the time go? It was only yesterday that someone was holding you like that.
It was just yesterday. I think I remember it. We were kind of rocking back and forth.
Yeah. It's really
cool.
Fun to our children have, have their own books about raising babies. We had our books about raising babies, and they have their books about raising babies. And they have this wonderful five S's.
We discussed this, didn't we?
Yeah, we might have, but yeah. Anyway, we're learning. We're learning
Swaddle.
Their book.
Yeah.
Because I think it, I don't want to, my book is old. And their book is their book, and if we're going to be really good grandparents, it's our job to learn their book.
And in our book, I think the first chapter was the Kama Sutra, wasn't it? And then it was the baby part after that. But they wanted to make sure you
realize how you got a baby.
How you got a baby. Let's not forget that.
We didn't forget that.
We didn't forget that.
Not that old.
Sometimes I look around and I look at all these people and I reminded that they were a amazing conjunction of a couple of tiny little cells. And out of that multiplicity emerged us.
Us. Here we are.
Usums, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very edifying to look at an infant and realize that you can learn that this is where you came from. You know, I think we tend to forget it. We become adults. And some adults are really adults.
I was going to say some are adults. I often find myself being adult. As a matter of fact, that also is humbling, how many times I've become, well, adultified.
Doltish.
Doltish. And the Latin translation is doltish, dostas, dostamos, daistan, dos demos.
I'm so glad you remember that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. The thing is, it's a really lovely thing to be reminded that we all start off as these totally dependent little beings and can't do anything for ourselves. And
it's very humbling to realize that, and when we have an opportunity to experience that all over again with a grandchild.
Yeah, and as I said in my announcement about our program last night, we're really interested in soul growth, to kind of reiterate the theme that Rochelle and I keep coming back to, because it seems to be so deserving of our attention, and that is, why are we here? Here we have these little beings, and they pop in and go on this ride. And I'm always struck by the challenge of what is of value, and how do you choose that? And what does it mean to be a new soul? And, well, let's think about it.
Strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake.
New soul, for that is what we're talking about, being new souls in this grand universe, just barely a snippet above, well, I like to think of it as conscious dirt, or just a little bit more evolved. Dirt.
But what amazes me is that one would think that the most inevitable question on our journey would be, what am I doing here? You know, why am I here? And I not that many people pose that question. Not many people seem to even have a suspicion that there might be something going on.
I can qualify that, Rochelle. Not many people that we seem to be in aware of. You know, there are 6-7 billion of us, and I suspect there are many, 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 many who are dealing with these questions. But I think in the industrial society and the post-industrial society, we've been so taken over by capitalism / consumerism and things, you know, and the whole reality about things. And so that kind of takes possession of us. And I've had some thoughts about things. Matter of fact, I wrote this poem about things, and just to kind of kick it in. Bum bum ba bum 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 bum.
Listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to
things. I see many things now that had been disguised as guilty meanings, ghostly perceptions, and the brittle forms of fear. Things that had undergone transformation from the utilitarian agendas of streamlined man. I see many things now standing naked, juxtaposed one against the other in their rude fleshiness, like unbarked trees begging for new names, for fear the old ones would keep them from awareness. Like so many diversified animals at an empty waterhole, with tongues hanging out for confirmation, and sweat glands dried up from being used for storage instead of release. Wanting to jump out at me, these so many things, now, to break me out of familiarity, and lead me down a winding unknown path to hybridization. Vibrant embryos with new design implants. All these many things, inversely propped up against the always archaic aromas of civilization, away from diversity, back toward sameness, screaming for effervescence.
Those who have died have never lived. The dead are not under the earth. They are in the rusty trees. They are in the groaning woods. They are in the crying grass. They are in the moaning rocks. The dead are not under the earth. So listen more often.
I see so many things now, like orphans waiting for new parents to reunite them into meaning, or like siblings scrambling for separation without losing love. Oh, these so many things that I see, coated over with the appearance of need and the charms of desire, not allowing them to express their purity, to be as they are, wonderful vagabonds free from attachment, but willing to embrace, to be part of, partners in succulence. I see many things now, twisting through my synapses, rebounding through the interior of my mind, smashing against my neurologically stale impressions of the world of things, missing the who of things for the this and the that.
Those who have died have never lived, the dead have a pact with the living. They are in the woman's breast, they are in the waiting child, they are with us in the home, they are with us in the crowd. The dead have a pact with the living. So listen more often to things than to themes. Listen more often to things than to themes.
These so many things, in their perfect identity, standing free, unencumbered by the need to possess, with parentheses, but willing to be joined, helping me to break through conceptuality, leading me out and beyond into a universe of hallowed things. I see many things now, enabled by some unusual light beam shot through an artist's prism, displaying the frontiered rays of experience to my monotonic mind. Thank you, many things, for transposing reality in such a way that I am caught off guard, unable to cage you in my old neighborhoods, or to deny you and me access to freshness.
When the fire's voice is heard, it is the ancestor's word, in the voice of the water I was
Let me guess, the poem was by Errol Strider. Who sang all that stuff?
Well, that was Sweet Honey in the Rock.
That's what I thought, Sweet Honey in the Rock. They have such a lovely sound.
They do.
I just love listening to them.
Well, anything get triggered for you or our listening audience by that poem, Things? I hope you're still listening. We had some technical difficulty, but we seem to be back.
Well, I think that we're inundated with things. There are human beings who live on this planet who don't have things bombarding them daily or surrounded by things or superfluous things. I mean, there are things that you actually need, like you may need a pot to cook in, a pot to piss in, a pot to
smoke
in, a pot to wash your face in or whatever. But there's not many things that we really need to survive. And yet, I look around this small cabin that we live in, and there's a lot of things in here.
If you think about
it. Ratio per inch.
Yeah. And it seems that no matter where we go or what we do or how we do our best to avoid it, we just keep dragging things with us. We've got things all over the place.
Yeah.
And when we moved, remember, we had to make a decision about every single thing. Some of it was just a little speck of something on the rug. It required a decision. A little critter.
Yeah, it did. It required a decision to take it or to leave it. And there have been times in my life, and they haven't been many, when I've just walked away from things. That's it, things, and somebody else came into that space and took over the things that went with it, and that was that. It seems like I've become more attached to things rather than less attached as I've gotten older.
Maybe it's like an old age reaction. As you're starting to leave the planet, you know, getting sucked back into the Earth gravity, and we kind of grab it on, you know, like a creature about to, a cat falling down backwards and scraping, trying to hold on to the thing.
The thing is, remind us of our mortality. And, of course, immortality doesn't have any things. You don't have any things in immortality.
We don't know that.
Well, we think that. I mean, because, I don't know, my dad died and he didn't take a thing with him.
Well, that's different. We can't take things, but that's not mean that there aren't things there when they get there. And matter of fact, I think that's why they don't let you take things, because they tell us before we did, we got things, man. You don't need to take anything.
I used to have this vision and this fantasy that I had lots of places to live and I didn't have to take anything except a tiny little bag with me on a plane to go to my next place where I wanted to live because it had everything I needed there. And then when I went to the next place, it had everything I needed there. So I never had to carry anything with me. I could have that, I think, just by choice, but I haven't quite chosen it. I still like to carry stuff with me. I feel like I'm substantial. If I have a lot of stuff, I am substance.
You're very, if I can say this publicly for those of you who are here and listening, Rochelle is a very, very sensual person. I'd have to say that. Let me describe the ways.
Am I going to get embarrassed?
Probably.
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. Well, let me think about it. Okay, go ahead.
Well,
I'll get embarrassed.
Well, she loves her taste. Let's just talk about her taste. This woman savors the things that she makes, which is so convenient because she doesn't have to go out to get it. She can just make it and savor it right here in our little cabin, and she does. And she has a little addiction, though. There is a certain form of chocolate candy that apparently she can't live without.
Oh, I can live without it. I've lived without it for years.
Really?
Yeah. But when it's around, I like to have it. That's for sure.
I noticed that. She asked me if we could take just a little. We were traveling down the road, and she said, well, we can get these candies over. It's only about 75 miles over here to the right on this dirt road.
No, none of that is true. None of that is true. It's making it all up. But I am a sensualist. I like to touch things. I like to feel things. I like to eat things. I like to see beauty. I don't just see. I like beautiful things. I like beautiful taste, beautiful things to look at, beautiful things to feel. Yes, I am a fan.
A feeler.
A fan of beauty.
Yeah. Rochelle is the poster child for touchy-feely kind of gal.
But not necessarily woo-woo touchy-feely.
I have another poster child for the woo-woo touchy-feely. For those of you who are interested in the more woo-woo touchy-feely kind of people. Woo-woo.
But, you know, we are sensory beings. I mean, we have five senses. If you have them, you know, and there's a point where you can look at things that are not pleasant, and then there's a point where you can go, I want to look at things that are pleasant, beautiful things. I want to look at trees and beaches and oceans, and I want to feel sand, and I want to feel leaves, and I want to feel grass, and I want to feel, and I want to eat ice cream because it does a whole lot of things to me.
Well, having said that, it's good to put it into context, and you're listening to Inside Out, the Naked Truth, where we plummet into the depths and absurdities of our existence.
Oh, I like that. Plummet into the depths and
absurdities
of our existence. I was watching things today. I was watching people come and go at Lupin, and I realized some people do the silliest things and have no idea that they're doing it. And
really?
I'm one of them.
Isn't
Isn't it amazing? I think that's what happens when you get older. You're more likely to see the ways in which you're kind of basically inept. Well, we're making it up, and sometimes we make it up good, and sometimes we don't make it up so good, or we make it up in a way that doesn't work, and then we have to learn from our mistake and choose something else. And it's the choosing of the something else, especially at a moral level. And by moral, I mean our capacity to make choices that aren't driven by prior conditioning, biological, social, genetic, whatever, that we're capable of making a decision based upon a different reason.
What's the reason?
Because. Remember, your parents used to always tell you that. They told you to say why. They say because. They were right.
So it's the cause reason.
Yeah, it's the cause, because the cause decided to have it be that way.
I want to get back to the question of why are we here. Well, you were talking about soul. To me, when I realized the reason I'm here is to grow my soul, and then anything that happens to me, any encounter I have with things, people, situations are food for the growth of that soul.
Well, you said we get back to it, but I thought that's exactly what I was addressing.
Well, I just wanted to address it with that language.
Oh, from the back there part.
Yeah, from the back there part. So, you know, the front part that you're in right now.
Ah.
Okay, go ahead. I don't know what we're talking about. All of a sudden, I took a road that had so many bumps and curves in it, I didn't know where I was.
Well, it's always good to pay attention to the yield sign. If all else fails, I recommend the yield sign.
That's sort of like non-resistance.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The yield sign.
But to me, it's this amazing discovery that we make on all these levels.
Peering out the tiny eyes, the grubby hands that grip the rail, wipe the window clean of frost, help the morning air, lid off the latch. A whistle to wake someone there, next door to the nursery, just down the hall, a stranger sound you never heard before. A strange sound that makes boys explore. Treading it so slow, the little feet amid the morning, the small heartbeats. So much excitement yesterday that must be rewarded. The speed is played. Large hands lifted through the air, excited eyes contained in there. The eyes of those he loves and knows, but what's his extra just he? His puzzled head tipped to one side, amazement swims in those bright green eyes, glancing down upon this thing that makes strange sounds of thing. In those silent, happy seconds that surround the sound of this event, a parent's smile is made in moments. Oh, they have made for you a friend, and all you ever learn from them, until you grew much older, did not compare with what they said. This is your friend. Brand new brother. This is your brand new brother.
tell that was Elton John?
No, I couldn't tell that was Elton John.
And he was singing a song called The Great Discovery, and it was about New Baby. The lyrics, peering out of tiny eyes, the grubby hands that grip the rail, wipe the window clean of frost as the morning air laid on the latch. A whistle awakened somewhere there next door to the nursery just down the hall. A strange new sound you never heard before. A strange new sound that makes boys explore. Tread neat, so small, those little feet amid the morning, his small heart beats. So much excitement yesterday that must be rewarded, must be displayed. Large hands lift him through the air. Excited eyes contain him there, the eyes of those he loves and knows. But what's this extra bed just here? His puzzled head tipped to one side. Amazement swims in those bright green eyes, glancing down upon this thing that makes strange sounds that sing.
A new baby, huh?
In those silent, happy seconds that surround the sound of this event, a parent's smile is made in moments that have made for you a friend. And all you ever learned from them until you grew much older did not compare with what they said. This is your brand new brother. This is your brand new brother.
It must seem very strange. We were with our grandchild on Sunday. Her cousin, who is a year and a half old, was visiting her, and he didn't seem too impressed. Well. In fact, there was a point where his father was holding the baby, and he seemed not only not impressed, but sort of like downright upset that the fact that somebody else was in his daddy's arms.
Oh, yeah? He did? He got upset?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wasn't upset, like, you know, mean, because he's a very sweet, loving little boy.
And we took his knives and swords away from him.
No, we did not. I remember feeling very threatened by my sister when she was born.
Well, that's different. You were how much older than she was?
4 years.
That's a big difference, because you really had the throne for a long time.
Yes, I sat upon the princess throne for a long time, and I was dethroned.
Whoops. As I recall, you did not like it.
No, I didn't like being dethroned.
We get thrust into these family situations that so affect who we are and how we get shaped and how we deal with life and the baggage we carry around through our lives. And it's such a huge piece of our life and what shapes us. But I'm wondering from a soul-growing perspective, from a spiritual perspective, from this eternal perspective, how that stuff gets integrated. Is it stuff we just simply leave behind when we move on, assuming we move on? Or does all those machinations that happened in struggling families, struggling to be families, somehow become a part of our self-identity and of that soul self that we hopefully continue to be?
Well, there's certainly lots and lots of things written about it. Some have agreement and some have different perspectives. You remember when I first met you, I talked about a sock being pulled inside out, that the inside, there's a point where the inside of the sock and the outside of the sock are equal. And then you keep pulling and the inside of the sock starts becoming the outside of the sock. And I feel that awareness in terms of my own growth at this point, that my inner being that it hasn't been tainted by soot.
Well, the grimy aspects of life.
Right.
Internally and externally, there's a certain amount of grime.
Right. To me, the soul is not filled with grime. It's like after the grime is gone, this is what the soul is there. And it's unblemished in that sense. To me, that's what it is. And as I allow that soul to move to the outside of me, a whole different picture of myself emerges.
It makes me think of the symbolism of baptism, that you immerse in the water to symbolically remove the grime. When you come up out of the water, of that immersion into being cleansed, you leave the grime behind.
Poor grime has to go somewhere. It goes down the drain.
Well, or in this case, down a body of water.
Yeah.
Or down the drain more often than not.
Right.
But I think just raising this point about our soul and the way it gets in this world.
People living their lives for you on TV. They say they're better than you, and you agree. She says, hold my calls from behind those gold brick walls. Says, come in, boy. It's nothing for free. Another burger, another hot dog, some fries. You wishing them well, hope your health don't go to hell. Well, another doctor's bill, a lawyer's bill, another cute, cheap thrill. You know you love him. Put him in your will, but who will save your souls when it comes to the baby? Who will save your souls to those lies that you told, boy? And who will save your souls if you won't save your own? La da 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 da. We try to hustle him, try to bustle him, try to cuss him. When cops want someone to bust down on Orleans Avenue. Another day, another dollar, another war, another tower went up where the homeless had their homes. So we pray to as many different gods as there are flowers. What we call religion our friend. We're so worried about saving our souls, afraid that God will take his toll, that we forget to begin. But who will save your souls when it comes to a baby? You will save your souls to those lies that you told, boy. And who will save your souls if you won't save your home? Some are walking, some are talking, some are stalking the queue. Got social security, but that don't pay your bills. There's addictions to feed, and there are mouths to pay. He's who you're bugging with the devil, but you don't care for today. Say, let you love them, take the money and run. Say, spend well, sweetheart, but it was one of those things. Those things, those dreams, you gotta cut. So get out on the streets, girls, and bust your butts. Who will save your soul when it comes to the baby? Who you will save your souls to those lies that you told, boy? And who will save your soul if you won't save your own?
Well, thank you, Jewel, for showing up at our house and bringing an audience with you.
She's an amazing singer. I've been watching some videos of her, and boy, I recommend you go on YouTube and just watch her. She is so into the content of the songs, and of course, I guess she's written, I assume, most of them, and it's just amazing. And she has such command of her voice. There was one funny YouTube where she showed up at some karaoke bar, totally made up in like a really like dorky looking woman. They put a false nose on her and extra hips and dark hair. And she looked absolutely nothing like herself. She looked like this kind of homely woman at this karaoke bar. And she came with like four or five people that were supposedly a party, and they're all actors. At a certain point, they were yelling for her to get up and sing, get up and sing, get up and sing. And then she started singing this guy, and she was, of course, they're going, she sounds just like Jewel. And they were like amazed. was singing. And then Jewel came out later, took off the costume and sang, and they were all blown away. But at the end of the video, they're interviewing this kind of middle-aged guy at the end, and he said, you know, I tell you the truth, I think I like the first gal better than I like Jewel.
That's really funny.
And then, yeah, it's worth seeing it. And then they said, that was Jewel. He said, what?
He says, that was Jewel. And he walked away going, he was so far out. He loved it so much. You see him walking towards his car. Happy.
Oh, that's great.
It's a great video.
Anyway, that is great. That is great.
And we like sharing these special celebration of humanhood through art and music and comedy and characters and poetry. And that's why we do Inside Out, The Laughing Heart. And we hope that you can participate in this amazing creative opportunity, which is called Life in the Known Universe.
I went to the dentist this morning, and I must say I had a great gratitude for the fact that this was the worst thing that could possibly happen to me.
That was the worst?
I'm saying, for this day, that was the worst thing that could possibly happen to me was to go to the dentist. There's something about the sound that's made when they clean your teeth, even though they use these water things, but they do scrape away at your teeth. That's like the chalk on a chalkboard. And it just attacks my backbone. And my whole spine goes into spasm. I kept relaxing and trying to relax and trying to relax and trying to relax. I really almost did manage to relax completely, but I sweat. My hands, the palms of my hands get so wet and sweat. So I know, there it is. I had to share that with everybody, let you know where I'm coming from today.
Really?
Yeah, I started out my day going to the dentist.
That's so funny.
And I left there. I was like, oh, God, thank you. Let me be away from here.
It's true. It was definitely a, well.
What? Well, what's happening to you? Ooh, Errol, what are you doing? That's not nice.
It's the sound. Now you're quiet.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Oh, God. Turn it off.
That was the sound.
I didn't want to end my day with that sound. I started the day with that sound. I did not want to end it at all.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, that was mean.
But that was a special version of dental drilling in A minor. It's the A minor mass teeth dental drill. We have it in C sharp.
It's the latest in what we call modern music.
Right. Yeah, you can see why that would kind of like drive you nuts.
It just did.
Rochelle is now officially nuts.
Nutso.
You said something earlier. You said we make it up in passing, and we were just, at that time we were talking about things and all the different aspects of things, and you were noting all the things in our domicile, and I look at most all of them, and I think everything in here we made up. I mean, we may have made it up out of natural earthy things. At one point, everything in here was some part of the earth.
The house itself is a thing. Yeah. Everything.
Just in my
and there's some things and there's all things and many things.
There's probably 400 or 500 things in my view right now if I really started.
No, not hundreds. No, I don't think so.
Let's start.
Can start counting.
Next week,
we'll tell you how many things we counted before we fell asleep anyway. Mm-hmm. I would fall asleep by 10.
We have a pool.
A pool.
You know, when you take bets, you know, you pick a number. Like, remember we picked the weight of this huge pumpkin when we lived in Chicago?
Oh, and you won it.
And I won it. It was like...
Huge.
Huge.
It was a very large pumpkin.
It was like hundreds of pounds, and I won the pumpkin. But that was the good news. The bad news is then we had to deal with this huge pumpkin.
We did deal with it. We scraped out a whole bunch of pumpkin seeds, and we roasted them, and we had all that pumpkin stuff. Didn't we eat that?
Yeah, it was getting it to our house.
Oh, lifting it up.
The U-Haul, remember the
U-Haul? No, we did not.
Two guys to lift it.
We did not.
They wanted some of the pumpkin.
We did not do any of
but
that.
They were very sweet.
Wink, wink. Let people know you're joking.
Okay, I'm going to wink. Rochelle actually believes, to her credit, that you will take me seriously.
People do take you seriously, honey. You say it so seriously. If you're not going to be telling the truth, even if it's a joke, you should, highlight the fact that it's a joke. So people don't take it seriously because people will feel sad and disappointed and angry, and they'll hit you if they feel that you are making up something at their expense.
Wow, okay. I see the deconstruction of that whole scenario.
So you're protecting me from being hit.
That's right.
Thank you.
Should thank me.
I just thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. I have a poem here I'm going to share. I'm working on the poems that begin with T tonight. This is one called Tension. For those of you who have ever experienced tension, this is about tension. Okay, and it's but specifically tension, I guess, in the morning. Here it goes. Colors were brighter this morning, but suffered from the tension of a workaday world. As I felt the muscles secrete, I hoped that I would come at ease and the brittle feeling in my being would pass. But such is not the case. It seems during the week when folks are geared for conflict, boredom, and the hostile grappling with trivia, the source of all this disquietude is elusive. Indeed, I did not even notice the effect until today. Always blaming my morning tension on myself. I suppose we have to tense amidst the striving. Time alone suffers us to discover a better way when we will feel the gentle flow rather than the constricting output. I think it's a psalm from the Bible, I believe. I was thinking the other day about this whole belief about Jesus nailed to the cross and dying for our sins, and since that's not what I ascribe to, but I was appreciating how if you feel very unclean and you feel undeserving of love, which many of us do, and feel guilty for sins having been committed, at least in our mind, the notion that somehow a sacrifice was made for you that took the burden of all that away, and how releasing it would be to believe that, whether
the concept is true or not. It seems to me that it serves a great purpose for many.
I remember hearing someone say we're born in sin, you know, and then we have to spend the rest of our lives trying to cleanse ourselves. And when I held my grandchild, when I held my children, that absolutely, that notion, I don't see how anybody could even ascribe to it when you look at the face of a newborn and it's absolutely clean. It is so bereft of sin. There is no sin in that face. That face is so clean and so pure. And I feel sad that people have to feel that we have to overcome something rather than just be growing and growing and learning and thinking of this planet as our kindergarten and learn how to get along with each other and get along with ourselves and get over beliefs that limit us, constantly limit our magnificence. I mean, we're just magnificent. When I look at this child, I see how magnificent humans are.
It's a very different world view, certainly a very different religious view. We worked with a theologian by the name of Matthew Fox, with whom we share the same, I guess, point of view with regard to creation spirituality, which was what you were just sharing just now. And that had to do with seeing us as it's all positive. I mean, there was no being born in sin. Although I would like to say that I did come up with another way of looking at sin. It's an acronym for sin, and it stands for seduced into nonsense.
Seduced into nonsense. But I like nonsense. Nonsense is fun.
Well, the nonsense that I'm specifically talking about is the nonsense of duality. Because the cornerstone of all our misguided activities and thoughts and distortion and beliefs and judgments, I believe, is the belief that there is duality, that there is separation, that we aren't all connected. And indeed, what I see Yeshua, Jesus, having come to reveal is that that kind of separation is just not real, it's not true. And if he did anything for us, I see that he embodied the perfect integration of the human with the divine presence. And in that revelation, we see what we can become as we allow ourselves and surrender to that divine embrace.
Well, I think it has to do with people thinking, you know, that saying, I'm beside myself. I think that's where duality started.
You may be right. It could have started with us actually
being beside ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately, there's two of you. That's how you get duality. If there's only one of you, you wouldn't have duality.
Well, for the longest time, I thought I was getting ahead of myself. And then someone pointed it out to me that, in fact, I was just being beside myself. And that's when they wanted to put me away.
Dualistic thinking.
It was, in fact, dualistic thinking.
I think we should concentrate more on dualistic thinking at another time and look at it from many points of view, from the point of view of what does it mean to be connected? Because being connected immediately eradicates dualism.
Right.
To be one with is the opposite of dualistic thinking. And how does one become one with when you think of yourself as separate from?
It's hard. You can't like be in both places at the same time. You're either one with or you're separate from.
I know, but I'm working on cloning.
Uh-huh. So you could be one with. I love that. And clone yourself so that you could have a self that's separate from. Well, you know, I think that may be, in fact, what the universe has actually done with us. And that is to basically clone the one with and make this seemingly separate, billions, so we can have the exquisite pleasure and the surprise of coming back into the awareness of the one with and how good it feels. It's like when you lose something, you're almost glad you lost it if you found it, because it just feels so good to have found it.
Is that why you lose things?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I plan it. I actually plan it, and then I go hide the things from myself. And
well,
because I can get
and all those who know you know he loses things a lot.
Well, honey, it's time to kind of wind up here. We've got a couple minutes, and then we're going to have to move on to the next phase of our evening.
I'm not saying anything. This is a clean show.
This is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we have been sponsored and are sponsored every week by Go Raw Natural Foods and our good friend Robert, who is the emperor of Go Raw.
Emperor. You don't want
CEO,
a president.
Right.
You want an emperor.
I think he's the CEO of Go Raw. And for that, we are grateful because it's made it possible for us to share with you tonight. Thank you for listening. And each week we are here. And get a hold of us, estrider@gmail.com. And as I have mentioned before, if you would like to listen to some of these shows on a CD in your car, let me know. And for a small contribution of postage and handling, I will send it to you, one or two.
Oh, that's very nice. A little gift.
Yeah, little gift.
Definitely.
So having said that, anything else you want to say, Rochelle, before
yes.
we...
Yes, I want to remind people that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.